Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the 10th episode of The Dumping Ground. I'm your host, Makisha Clayton-Lee, a certified life coach. I want to thank the listeners who have been making comments, been listening to the shows each week. The shows are archived. You can go back and check them out as we continue doing the social distance. Enough about me. This platform was created as a listening ear, a safe place where you can dump off your problems and pick up some solutions. I'm Coach Lee, preparing you for the game of life. There is greatness on the inside of each and every one of us. To get to greatness, we have to get that push. So today, I have a beautiful panelist. I changed up the format for the month of April. We're doing roundtable moments. And these episodes will have guest panelists to share their experiences, tips on selected topics. So tonight, I have two amazing women joining tonight's episode. Let me introduce them. Beautiful Lady is a native of Atlanta, Georgia. That is a rare jewel because I know I moved here from Mississippi, and it's hard finding people who are native from Atlanta, Georgia. So this is pretty awesome. She currently resides in Conyers, Georgia. She has a bachelor's in psychology, and she's a registered certified mediator. She's a woman of faith. And her mission statement is to share the knowledge of God with the mustard seed of faith and acknowledging the body of Christ. She's a mother of four adult children, one minor beautiful baby girl. She's the grandmother of three. She's married to her best friend, Bruce Brown. She is human resource specialist at Waffle House, Inc. She has 25 years of customer service experiences with different industries. She's an entrepreneur. She had multiple small businesses. This is the part that I like. Her motto is, "I am simply the product of praying ancestors, strong in faith, bold in the Lord, living in the righteousness of the Lord." Tonight, Dumping Ground family, let's give a warm applause for India Brown. Yay! Thank you so much. Can you hear me? How are you? Hi.
I can. For
your time, I appreciate it. It's such an amazing opportunity to get to speak with you. When I met you, you have such a great spirit, and we just connected. So it just brings a great joy to have this opportunity to just chat it up with you, girl talk with the tonight. Okay.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem. Let me introduce my next panelist. Oh, this is super exciting. This beautiful lady is a native of Columbus, Mississippi, my hometown. Yeah, yes. She has a bachelor's in education, and she got it from Mississippi State University. She's currently pursuing her master's of public administration. Her career is an Amy Jag Court paralegal, federal government paralegal. She's married to a Marine Corps Master Gunnery Sergeant Corey Moore. Honey, you want to play, okay? He got gun skills, so ain't nobody trying to play with this. She's a mother of four. She has two sons and two daughters. She's a grandmother of two babies. One of her grandbabies is one, Cruz, and the other one is Kylo. She's three. And she has volunteered in several different organizations, First Impression Coach, Tampa Bay Mentor Trainer, Marine Corps Family Team Building, Veterans Medical Health Consult. This amazing lady is the Director of Marketing for Safe Space Product Manager. She's a consultant and a victim advocate with a zeal drive for helping victims of domestic violence to overcome and survive their circumstances. Now, I met this young lady. We go back, like, and when she had this event and we've been rocking ever since. So I just want to give a warm welcome to Devonda Moore. I appreciate you, Devonda. Are you there? Can you hear me? Devonda?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes. Yes. Awesome. Oh, girl. I appreciate you tonight. I really do. I know you are the director of marketing for the Safe Space Property Manager. I'll give you some time later on in the segment to kind of give us a little update. You can give us an update on what's going on, how we can help, how we can plug in and help build, and what we can do to connect for your for that part of the nonprofit. Okay, so we can chat about that later in the segment. Okay, and same to you, India. I know you have about 50,000 different endeavors that you are involved in. I think you have girls something. What's the name of it? Girls. I know I'm a part of it on Facebook. Don't.
It actually is one of my friends. Is Girls Need God. Oh, but yes, I do support that organization as well. So I definitely will give you some more information about it.
Yes. Yes, I knew I was a part of it. I just couldn't. I was like, there's a group that I'm a part of it. So I know she's a part of it too. So yes, I'll give you time in part of the segment to give us information on that so we can connect and we can all help do what we got to do. Iron sharpens iron, so we can do that. So tonight, ladies, tonight is the big night, where we are talking about, as a woman, how do you navigate family, career, and time for yourself? That is a big topic in a woman's life. What do you guys think about that? I think that is big because we play so many different roles in each of these different entities, and sometimes it's hard to navigate. What do you girls think about that?
I think that is Devonda. This is Devonda. Okay. I think it's definitely tough to navigate, especially, you know, when you consider one's background in today's world is ever changing. So navigating that, especially coming from the South, I'll speak for myself. Coming from the South is trying because, you know, as a young mother, you learn as you go. There's no handbook as far as being a parent. You know, so whether you're young or you're older, you know, it's a learning experience. So trying to get that work-life balance that works for you, it definitely takes time, and it's something that, for me, is ever-changing.
Yeah, I think so. My next one, you just hit an area that I really want to talk about, work-life balance. Everybody, you know, that's like the new trend. That's been a new trending word, India, you know, in the community, you know, in the workforce. Work-life balance. Our job is about work-life balance. Do you think that's a myth? Because think about it. How are you teaching people to work-life balance? You can say it all the time, but are your recommendations and your requirements and all your deadlines, is that practicing work-life balance? You know what I'm saying? Or are you just saying it? I feel like companies just say it to make you become a part of them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, so do you think it's a myth?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, for me, what I've learned through 25 years of, you know, just being a career woman, work-life balance, the word itself, I didn't probably start hearing about it probably until the last 10 years. So the first 15 years, it was more you having to realize that, am I doing more at work or am I doing not enough at work? Where is that balance? Like, there was no such thing as the word being thrown around as much as it is now. And I think a lot of that has to do with we do have more working women who are more concerned with the word work-life balance. So what I realized, I actually had the opportunity to go and work for a company that was a European company. After 20 years of working for a major American corporation, when I went to this European company is when I learned the word work-life balance. And to be honest, this particular company did strive to achieve that. They were really big on giving you incentives to prove how you had achieved your work-life balance, even your self-care
right.
balance. They would go so far
mm-hmm.
as to give out $25 gift cards if you could prove you had been walking for a week. So as
oh,
you know,
wow.
you get your coworkers, you need to walk. So it became mm-hmm. something that I realized was really attainable. Now, the first
right.
20 years of my career, there was no such thing. Like, I had decided my family was more important than my job. I didn't care if I ever
right.
got a promotion. So
mm-hmm.
the level of going up the steps was just something I thought was not achievable. But then I get over to this company, and they actually supported it. It became
mm-hmm.
clear to me that we were intended to actually have work-life balance. So
right.
I think one of the things I would always encourage any and everybody to do is to first set your own personal goals for your family as well as your job. Then find a company that supports what you truly believe. I think sometimes
mm-hmm.
we think, well, I got to take a job. I gotta, and you have to shift
mm-hmm.
your mind into I get to get a job. I get to.
Right.
It's not. I don't gotta do nothing. You
right.
know, I don't gotta do anything.
Right. Right.
I get the
right.
opportunity to put what I bring to the table, and that goes back to your self worth. I'm bringing
mm-hmm.
something to the table. If it's nothing but 8
right.
hours a day. So
mm-hmm.
to be honest, that. When I started to realize, oh, there is such thing. Maybe you can be the CEO and still have 5 kids. So,
right, right,
just,
right.
You know,
that's good to see that you said a very important piece, and I don't want to lose it. You said how you worked for a European company, and they were
mm-hmm.
Rewarding employees
mm-hmm.
to. Do the incentive. See, they incorporate it. They didn't just say it, right? I think some of the corporations
correct.
Just embrace the word but don't practice it.
Yeah.
Like, I know I'm a
right.
workaholic, right? All my whole family, we were taught to be workaholics. We were taught to just
right.
work. And sometimes I have to train myself to cut off because I will go until I'm dead tired. Like, my brain will be on zero, and I'm still pushing.
Yeah.
But then I have to look at myself and say, well, what are you trying to accomplish that you keep pushing?
Correct.
Are you trying to, you know, are you trying to prove a
what's
point?
The real goal?
What's
mm-hmm.
the goal of you just keep pushing yourself
right.
and keep pushing yourself? You know what I'm saying? That's pretty funny. That's pretty deep. Devonda, so with your experiences with the work-life balance, have you worked for organizations for how, like, India had that incorporate that, or were they just, like, kind of telling you that but not really practicing that? You know what I'm saying? My experience is them actually just telling us that. They provide the videos, the things that you have to just – check the box for, you know, and the crazy thing is that I've always, for the most part, worked for the federal government in some capacity,
right.
and
mm-hmm.
they're the ones who make the policies and rules, and I've always heard they're the worst at breaking their own policies and
yeah.
rules,
yeah.
and I found that to be true, and I've also found that over the years, actually, just recently, I tell my kids all the time, I think I've just grown up. I've not become grown until I was about 37, 38 or so. But
yeah.
I found that in, you know, even doing that, you know, she talked about finding that job that works for your family, that I gotta get a job or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone through
mm-hmm.
that recently having a military spouse, you know,
right.
and I felt the push, even though I didn't need to. But that's because society has taught me that I need to,
right.
or that I got. But the great
yeah.
thing is have an awesome support system that,
mm-hmm.
and a spouse that I didn't have before that allowed
right.
me to evaluate self and say, hey,
mm-hmm.
hey, what do I really want? Not necessarily looking at the finances. I know everybody doesn't have that luxury
right.
or whatever, but it allowed me to look at what do I really want, because I found myself, like, you look back on 20 years or so and you're like, what have I been doing? Working, paying
mm-hmm.
bills. how many times have I actually lived in the moment, you know?
That's deep, girl. That's deep. Yeah. Oh, my God, because I feel the exact same way. Like, I feel like for 20 years, I look back and I'm like, what did you really accomplish out of these 20 years besides you raised your daughter, right? She's in college. She's this, you know. What else can you say that you really accomplished in those 20 years? I had to really do a self-assessment. I think I had a nervous breakdown in 2016 when I realized my daughter's about to go to college, right? That's when I didn't have that balance, right? And she's about to go to college, and she's the only one, and I had nothing. I had nothing. I felt like I have poured so much into work. I have poured so much into being a mother. I have poured so much into just everything else, and I was empty, and I was empty. I felt like, what is my purpose? Like, I know I could be a good wife. I know I could be a good mother. I know I can work hard at work, right? You know what I'm saying? But what is my purpose on this earth that I, and that's the void that I had to come head on, complete head on with, you know what I'm saying? Like, I had to come head on with that. With that void, like there's a void, and I need to fill it, right? Because I want to be whole. You know what I'm saying? I felt like I wasn't whole. You know what I'm saying? It's like I was operating in all these different roles, but I was still empty. You see what I'm saying? Have your girls felt like that before?
Totally. I almost hesitate to say this, but I am going to say it. I think that feeling is one of those inevitable feeling that as a human, we all at some point must face. I think the difference is just when are you going to face it? Mm-hmm. If I had to say, you know, as I speak with people who are younger than me, same age as me, and then older than me, it's always going to be inevitable for you to realize that there is something deeper that you're supposed to be accomplishing. And not just, I did it this time, and I am now fulfilled, and now, you know, 20 years from now, I can look back and say I did something 20 years ago. I think that's the beauty of who we are as humans. I think what we forget sometimes is, even when you made the statement, for the last 20 years, I was great at being a mother, a wife, and a worker. It identified who I was. It was the role I absolutely enjoyed doing. Sometimes it had its ups and it had its downs. But if I look back over the years, you know, it was pretty much kind of fulfilling. I think what we have to realize is that life is ever changing. Every season calls for something different. And I think where we're all probably, I would say at least the three of us are at in our lives right now, with our kids going off and, you know, her and I having grandkids, we're just at that point where it's another change. If I had to think back the first time I realized that, though, Keisha, it would actually be when I was 29, approaching 30.
Wow.
I literally thought at 29, I was. It must have been my time to die because.
Oh my
where
God!
Was I to go? Who was I?
Oh
to
my
meet?
Goodness!
I was going through a divorce with four kids. I'm like, I don't know who I am. I was a mother and a wife and a worker. Like, I worked at a major corporation then. But that was the first time. And ever since that epiphany, I coined that I get to restart my life every so often. So I literally, I mean, maybe my fourth life, but, you know, what I would say when I had to shift again. So I think the most important thing, if I had a takeaway of learning how to really balance yourself, it just really starts with not putting a lot of pressure on yourself. Accepting, like you said, you didn't get a chance to live in the moment. Definitely learn to live in the moment. I have a daughter who is a lawyer. The day she graduated from undergrad, she graduated from undergrad in 3 years. Phenomenal, right? Phenomenal.
Wow.
3 years she graduated from undergrad with a degree in political science. Do you know what she said the day of her graduation?
What am I going to do next?
She literally thought there was, she didn't, but she was getting ready to go to law school, but she didn't feel like it would be enough. Like, it was a hard day that day to get her to just celebrate herself. So if I had anything to tell other women, especially here at 48, when I didn't celebrate myself in my 20s, I didn't celebrate myself in my 30s, it literally took me until about 43 to realize I was worth celebrating. If I had anything to say, it would be that in order to achieve that work-life balance, you first of all have to sit in the moment, assess what you're looking at, and really give yourself all the credit you deserve for whatever you have accomplished. Because you couldn't have made it to 20 without accomplishing something.
That's really deep that you said that, because I think sometimes we fail to celebrate the moment. Like, it's like, what's the next goal? I know for me it is. It's like, okay, I got that check mark. What's the next goal? What you know, because it's like goal oriented, right? So it's like, all right, bravo, got that one. What's next? You know what I'm saying? So instead of taking that time and just really, you know, saturating the moment, say, okay, I did great. I basked in that. You know what I'm saying? That is, I know I need to practice that more often. So listen to this. I found some data because I love data and research. Okay. I found some data on Quads.com. It says 63 of millennial women believe that having children will make it harder for them to advance in their careers. That's a high percentage. What do you girls think about that,
shocked,
though? You're not shocked? You're not. What about you, Devonda?
I think it's very hard. My children are adult children, and I do have grandkids or whatever. So my daughter does have a one-year-old. And I find that it's hard. And even with the current situation, I don't know how I would be doing this right now if I actually had children. And it's hard enough with it just being my husband and I. All the obstacles that you have to face, even if you don't have children and trying to achieve more, to achieve better, you know, it's challenging, you know, even without kids. So I can only imagine today and trying to keep up with technology and everything that's ever changing with social media, the expectations that society and social media put on us. At least I try to teach my kids success is not measured by your job title. It's not measured by what's in your bank. It's about you leading a purpose-driven life. You mentioned, you know, living with a purpose. And it's about living that purpose-driven life, being the best version of yourself, doing what actually makes you happy. Because sometimes I notice so many adults in our mid-30s and 40s, so many of us have gotten divorced. So many of us have changed our careers because we did what was expected of us, not what was in our heart, not what was our passion or whatever. And that's where I found myself now because, again, like I say, I have a supportive husband who pushes me to be me every day, to appreciate myself. And you said it even earlier that, you know, we have to learn how to appreciate who we are. Except that we are working, and for the longest time, I didn't know how because I was too busy being everything to everybody else. So I do believe that, especially as a woman today and having children, you're still expected to cook, go to work.
Mom,
you know, help with homework, you know, do housework. It's a lot. It's a lot.
That is really good, Devonda, because the next data thing, it says 56 of working moms find it very or somewhat difficult to balance career, family, and family responsibilities. And that's another thing, too, that you were saying. When you are, that I had my daughter when I was young, and if you don't have a support team to help you navigate this thing called raising a child and trying to work and build yourself, you will have a freaking nervous breakdown. You will lose it because I salute parents who, like, mothers who are single mothers who, because you have to have a, like, it's for real. It takes a village to raise kids. It really does.
Amen.
Like, you cannot do that entity thing all by yourself. You cannot. It is hard. It is super hard. And for this percentage to be so high, it is, that's really sad. That's really sad. So,
yeah.
But
I think,
go ahead. You good? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think it's just kind of what they, when I talk to people, like I've met women in my life that said, you know, I just really didn't want to have kids because of the way society is or because I choose to pursue my career. I think it's a sad state when we mandate people to have them or mandate them not to have a choice of a career. Whichever your choice is, we as a society have to get better at allowing people, women, men, everyone to live their life to their fullest and not to put restrictions on people. So that's why I said I wasn't shocked when you said it was 63% of the women. I'm not shocked that it's 56% that says it's super hard. And I totally agree with you. You definitely have to have a support system. And, you know, we see these memes all the time that says things like, well, we're the grandparents that we used to have ages ago where they would watch
yeah.
the TV. Because clearly, I'm going to be totally honest. My first four kids had two amazing grandparents. When they were little and I was still married with my husband, his mother watched them all the time. When I went through my divorce, my mother watched them all the time. So I had never even heard the word single working mother until I got to that same company that I was in. They identified me as a single working mother. I didn't know what that was. I was like, I didn't know the word mother made it to work. Like, how does that title make it into your vocabulary, right? But the long story short of it was I did have an amazing support system. And the meme is funny when it says we're the grandparents of today that were like last year, because I by far am not that grandparent. I don't watch my grandparents as much as my mom watched mine. But I think a lot of it has to do also with expectations. Life is just a little different. I wish there was a way that those 56% of the women who feel like it's just hard could find the resources that they need. So maybe we need more resources available to them. Now, I know church, you know, it's an outlet on Sunday. You need to put them in a room without you. But, you know, Monday through Friday, maybe there needs to be more of those type of nonprofit organizations that actually, you know, do a little bit more.
That's a good thing too, and that could be a ministry for someone else to kind of start, like after school program for these kids where they can come to and do their homework and give their parents an opportunity. Like right now, I know I talk to parents right now with this social distance and their social learning and all this. And I'm sure with you, India, with your daughter too, your 9-year-old daughter. This is a different world that we're living in. Like, this is a different world. And I know we were taught totally different how to do math compared to how the teachers and how this curriculum is teaching these kids math. So I saw a meme that says, don't be surprised when these kids go back to school, they teach you another way how to do this. Hey, you know what I'm saying? Don't be surprised. The way you sit home, you know, we've been posting all this stuff and we trained them how we were taught. As long as they get that answer right, you better just check and keep moving. So I saw that meme. I thought that was pretty hilarious how things have changed so much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it to me is just pretty hilarious. Devonda, do you have anything to say? You're with your grandbabies. They're young, so they're not learning or anything like that. Do you have friends who are doing this distant learning, new age teaching with their kids, parents?
Oh, yes, and they're a reminder of why I have two adults. You know, I just couldn't, you know, seriously, I have the dog, and I'm about to lose my mind with just the dog, but, you know, I would find it really difficult, you know, to do that. And you touched on something, India, when you mentioned the church. And
yeah.
I also find that that's something that's integral or very important in today's society. But from my experience, I know it's not every last one, but I find myself asking, where is the church in a lot of things where I saw the church growing up? The church
is
a support system where, you know, you can call somebody from the church and they keep your kids or feed you or whatever. I know there are people who are hungry right now through what's going on, but the church is missing. The church, the same church that they pay their tithes to, is missing right now in several other disasters or important events that have happened. And I've also found that as a single parent, when I was a single parent trying to raise my kids, the most judgment came from the church. I didn't feel comfortable. When I went through domestic violence in my marriage and prior to my marriage, the church judged me. The church made me feel I should stay in a marriage as a woman. And through that, that if I left, I was less than a woman. I was not fulfilling my duty according to the Bible. And today, working with faith property management, I find that so many women are being encouraged to stay in dangerous situations or situations that do not or are not conducive to their mental or physical health. And it's making it harder. And so many women are silent, you know, on so many aspects, you know, not just about domestic violence, but so many aspects, because the, those institutions that are supposed to be support systems are judgmental, and we don't speak up. And we go through all of it in silence, trying to figure out who we are, trying to figure out a career, you know, trying to break the glass ceiling, all those things, you know. And it's like, where are they? The church provided a foundation for me when I grew up. But millennials and a lot of people my age now, they don't want to go to church. And it makes it hard because, like I said, that provided a great foundation for me.
Right. So, Devonda, I totally, I can not only hear you, but I can relate personally to everything you're saying, because that too is my story. And it's, like you said, so many people's story. And so even going back to one of the groups that I have recently joined, which was the Girl Need God group, is a more empowering type of group where we are trying to get together to rebuild one another in a way that is conducive to healing. I totally get what you mean by looking for the church to assist us and help us make better choices and figure things out. Even if we don't take your advice the first time, when we come back the second time, we want to know that you're still there, and sometimes they are not. I also have been a children's minister for the last couple of years as well. And what I most, like they said, it's easier to heal a child than an adult. So even when we're talking about how do we get past this, or how do we prevent it from happening, forget getting past it, how do we stop it from happening in the beginning? What is not happening in society, in our churches, or in our homes that prevent these types of situations? So don't get me wrong, we have problems and we have a lot of solutions, but what about the preventive method, preventive things that we can start to do? So, I mean, my heart actually goes out to anybody who is in a domestic violence situation. I always encourage women to get out. I mean, I was in one forever, 15 years. I didn't even realize it bothered me until I left. That's how long I was. And then when I look back and I have to tell a story, it's almost like a picture book. That's not me. That wasn't me. Did I do that? Was that going on? It's almost so not real. So I totally get what you mean. I totally understand. But at the end of the day, we as women have to continue to fight for those who can't fight for themselves.
Right.
So if anyone's on the line who is in a domestic violence situation, or forget domestic violence, if you're tired of your kids, sometimes the person you want to be a part and help you may not be, but that doesn't mean that somebody else isn't there. Like you said, it used to be time. I know we used to go to church on Saturday and stay there all day, just be outdoors playing. Nobody really watching us per se, but it was a bunch of kids there. You know, we were supposed to be in choir practice, but practice is over. So you're right. Those type of things, I don't know how we get that back. I don't know what the
end
would be.
Even when I know one thing in there. I know one thing. I didn't mean to intervene. You got to stop judging. That's the purpose of we have to stop judging one another. You're not the judge.
Amen.
The judge is our Father. You're not the judge. And
Amen.
you can't walk in my shoes. You don't know my story. You don't know. You don't have the room to judge. Only thing you could do is just pray and ask God to help me, navigate me, and push me through the situation, or help me make the decision of what I need to do. But judging, we gotta, that's the number one thing we have to stop. We have to put our foot down and say no more. We cannot do this.
Yeah.
We need to be a person that's going to help each other. That's why he says, show your love. If you love me, you're going to love your neighbor as yourself.
Love
you
neighbor,
have
yourself.
To start loving your neighbors. Stop judging. It has to come to an end. We have to uplift each other and support each other and build each other up. That's the purpose of me bringing this month, bringing women together. Talk about these topics of how we navigate through this life. How do we go through different situations and circumstances and different things like this? That's the purpose of this platform, is to be a listening ear, so it can go transmit out to ever plant a seed in all the listeners' hearts and say, okay, I'm going to take heed at this. I'm going to work on this. I'm going to do this and to be better, right? So that's my whole mission, my whole purpose, not judging, no matter what the situation is. All have come short of the glory. Nobody's sin ain't greater than nobody's sin. Your lies, your nothing is not greater. So we have to come to that understanding. Just love.
Amen.
Just love covers a multitude of sin. It's love.
Mm.
So that's the only thing that we could do is love each other. Love each other. And just help. And just whatever you could do to build up someone else. It don't even have to be no money, your time, your talents, your treasures. Do it. Do it. That's your purpose.
Amen.
It's not here for you no more. It's about the body, the community, helping everybody. And it don't have to be your color. It don't have to be your creed. It don't have to be anything. Just be a vessel to be available to be used. Just be open to be used. I mean, that's it. Just openness and be available to be used. All right, girls. I'm sorry. That was my ministry moment. I'm back.
Okay,
I'm back. I'm back.
It's okay. I'm back into my life coach role. Thank you, Devonna, for bringing out the evangelism. You know, it's cool. It's back.
Amen.
I'm back in my life coach role. Okay.
You back.
Okay. I'm back.
No.
Devonna, are you there? Are you there?
I'm here. And this way, I'm asking questions like I'm running the show, but my husband tells me that all the time. But you spoke about something about, you both spoke about empowerment and us as women helping each other. Do you find that as difficult? Because in my 40 plus years, especially as an adult, I found that the worst has come from women. As far as work, life balance as well, I've gotten the least understanding for life situations or for trying to obtain information, because I always seek to do better. I don't settle for just put in front of me. I don't settle for just black and white. I'm always seeking for more knowledge. And I found that it's been easier, you know, in certain instances to deal with the opposite sex. And you know, there are even times where it's easier to deal with other races, because sometimes we women, and as African Americans, we can be our own worst enemy, because we always feel like for some reason we're in competition, even if we're trying to achieve the same goal. And I realized a long time ago, and it's what I teach my kids, you have your own race. Stay in your lane, and you'll reach your goal when you're supposed to. Have you, you ladies experienced that, or do you find that that's a problem?
Devonda, 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 girl, you talking on a topic that I'm talking about in 2 weeks, baby girl. You are lighting this ablaze right now. Do you hear me? I mean, like, you, that is like one of the topics on the end of this month that I'm talking to about. As a woman, like, we have the, even in your job at work, like you said, and even in this work-life balance, the women is the most cutthroat out of all of it. You can be the sweetest person. You go in with an open heart and try to be, you know, helping people, but it's that woman that always, the, you know what I'm saying, it's, she just and antagonizing and manipulative. I mean, just like all of the above. So you are definitely talking on a subject that, woo, girl, I want you to listen then so we can talk about this. But you are absolutely right. We live a crap in a bucket lifestyle, mind mentality. We don't want to help each other. We want to just be inferior to our own kind. And it, we can pull our resources together and we can build a magnitude. But no. I want to be my own entity. I want to be my own thing and do my own thing because I want to do my own thing because I want to outshine you and want to do my own thing, you know? So, girl, woo, you just hit a nerve.
And if we just support each other, work-life balance would be, to me, it would make it a lot easier, you know? Mm-hmm. Just that added support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You ladies, you know what? This has been an amazing night. I just have 13, like, I'm going to say about 5 ways how we can set our priorities with this work-life balance, and then we're going to call it tonight because we've been having some good conversation. And I just want to give you, when I say about 5 of these, and I'll give you guys a couple of minutes, you can wrap up your closing. You can tell them where they can find your organization, all that good stuff. And then we'll just be going for tonight. Is that okay? Sounds like plan? Any objections?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So lifehike.org, they gave us 13 ways a successful woman strives a balance between work and life. And the number one that I appreciate was set your compass. In other words, get a clear on your core and your purpose, right? That's in your job, that's in your family, that's in time for yourself. You have to set your compass. And my second favorite one was be mindful of your energy drain, meaning these negative nallies and these hateful harados and all these petty betties and all these people who's draining your energy. You need to be mindful of these people. Cut them off. I don't care if family or not. You can love them from a distance. You don't have to engage. You can just cut them off. Because if they're going to draw your energy and your time, it's a waste. It's a waste of time because time is a valuable commodity. You don't get time back, okay? Schedule regular play dates that with your kids, your husband, your family, your girlfriend, and dance to your own music, meaning find some things that you like to do. Set time for yourself to go spa, go and have coffee by yourself or with some friend girls. Just set some boundaries and set some time aside for yourself too, because if you allow all these, don't have the balance, these other things, you're going to neglect self-care, and you need to have a clear conscience, a clear mind, so you can have a clear vision. All right, girls, which one of you guys want to go first and explain, give the people your social media, your talk about a little bit of your organizations and all that good stuff. Any, mini, money, mo, go. India, go.
Okay. you can actually find me on Facebook. I am actually India H. Brown on Facebook. On Instagram, I am Right in Line. So those are the two platforms that I am on now. The organizations that I'm actually affiliated with right now, I am a part of the Girl Needs God. It is actually one of my friends. It's one of her dreams. And my mission in life has always been to help others. So I'm actually trying to help her in any way I can. And then also, I am part of a PTO group with a phenomenal school called the Wilson Academy. My daughter actually attends there. I don't know if you girls have heard of that school. It's where they actually produce the youngest person to attend Spelman College. So this is her first year, Sydney Wilson. Yes, and it is a phenomenal school. Even when you talked about how we live in dealing with the balance of teaching and everything, they are completely still in control of everything. Love it. Even if you have a child that's struggling, they do specialize in high-performing kids, but also I have learned that they actually help more struggling kids as well. So if you have a child that is, you know, having some problems in school, it's definitely a different way of learning. They allow the kids to learn freely and effortlessly. They don't hold them back. My daughter is actually in the fourth grade. I think they may be on like a seventh grade math at this point, only because they just allow them to keep learning. They don't put a ceiling on them. Nice. So that's a lot of freedom in their minds that they get that I think we are all kind of suffering from, the freedom. So those are the two things that I am doing now. And then business-wise, I do property management. So if you are looking for somewhere to stay, you're in need of housing, you can reach out to me. My contact number is actually 678-698-1471. And then I also work for Waffle House, where I do the recruiting for their stores for associates. Of course, we're not recruiting right now because of the pandemic. But once this is over, if you're in need of a job, I can kind of help you with that. And basically, I'm just resourceful. If I don't do it, I know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody who does.
Shayla, 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 Shayla.
I definitely believe in spreading the love. If you tell me you do, I keep it in the back of my mind for when I meet somebody needs you. So I don't mind.
She does. She does. She is definitely, you definitely are a great resource to have. And I am so thankful that I had an opportunity for Kim Harris for us to come together and meet. You have been so true and dear. And I appreciate you coming on tonight and having this moment with us. Miss Devonda Moore. No problem, sweetie. Thank you. You're up on the mic, baby girl. Let's go.
Okay, on Facebook, I'm just Devonda Moore. You can find a lot of the information that I support. My page is basically networking and resource-driven there. The two organizations that I support wholeheartedly and I'm passionate about, first is Tampa Bay Dress for Success. It's actually a national organization, so it's not just in Florida or Tampa Bay. It supports women empowerment with finding a job, work training, resources such as interview techniques, resume writing, and they also do things such as provide clothing for interviews. What better way to go into an interview and, you know, have that confidence in having the right clothes? And a lot of times, a lot of these women come from situations such as drug abuse situations, domestic violence, of course, or just coming from environments of disadvantage. So they provide everything from A to B to help these women get on their feet. And a lot of them who volunteer at this point were once, you know, recipients of the services that they provide. It's an awesome service.
Nice.
Anyone who's trying to start life over and need that extra, you know, to get them to where they're going, the extra confidence or whatever, and what better way in a nice suit. And the second organization is the one that's dearest to my heart, which is Safe Space Property Management, founded by Cammie Barnes. It's located in Marietta, Georgia, actually. So
So if there's anyone on this call who is in need of services because of a domestic violence situation, not just physical, there's financial, emotional, as well, if you just want resources or a little bit of guidance, somebody to talk to, please look us up, Cammie Barnes, Toy Edmond, Devonda Moore, and there are three other ladies, Stephanie, Nicole Leek, and Reese. I can't remember Reese's last name, but they're all awesome women, all located across the country to provide whatever resources or information you may need, and you can look any of us up on Facebook. Again, Cammie Barnes is the founder. Our webpage is safespacepropertymanagement.com. And you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and IG, Safe Space Property Management out of Marietta, Georgia.
Thank you so much, Devonda and India. You guys have made my night. I truly appreciate it, you know, taking the time again. I couldn't have done this without you guys. You guys brought some amazing energy tonight and some amazing resources and tips and even brought out the evangelistic in me that I had to put back. I had to bring it down. But I truly appreciate it to you guys spending some time with us tonight and sharing your story and being transparent and authentic as you guys are. Devonda, it's been a great, I know we years and then all of a sudden we bump head again. It's been a, you are truly a supporter and I appreciate you. And if I know anybody or who can assist or help you guys, just know I'm here. Or if I can connect you to somebody, call me. Let me know what I can do to assist your organization. Same to you, India. I just want to make sure, be a helping hand to help each other, build each other up. You know, again, this month is about empowering, having a roundtable moment, being authentic, sharing resources on selected topics. This is our show tonight. This is our 10th episode on the Dumping Ground, a place where you can dump off some problems and pick up some solutions. Thank you, ladies, and I appreciate your time. And I will talk to you guys again. And have a blessed night.
You too.
Thank you for having us. Bye. No problem, ladies. Take care.
Bye.